This week we have the world's richest tarpon tournament.
World what? Richest what?
The tarpon, it's a very big fish. This is the tarpon cap. Yeah, this is the tarpon capital of the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You tarpon fish?
Tarpon is a big, kind of almost prehistoric fish that that is, you know, like I caught one on a fly rod last year. It was 110 pounds.
So whoa.
That's a big fish. And it's a sport fish. Yeah, it's a sport fish, so it's a fighting fish. It's a real animal. It it took me about 40 minutes to bring it in. I was on a flat boat, so it was pretty exciting.
Wow.
We've been fishing for the last 2 days trying to catch one. I haven't gotten one this year so far. But anyway, it's exciting. Elusive. The harder the sport, the more people want to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, especially competitive people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the more you raise your minimum, the more people are going to want you.
Well, we're raising it. We're raising it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good. Have we turned anybody away yet?
Turned anyone a bit? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we turn a few people away.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a few other people that have called in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That will say, like in one case, we had a client actually refer somebody. She's a tax advisor. But I told her, you know, she told me she was just trying to start something up. And I just told her that, in so many words, that we're really not the best place to do that. But we would love to help her and maybe and speak to her because we thought she would be a good center of influence. So since she has one of our top clients' accounts with her, we figured maybe she may have other people like her. So that's how we handled that one. But everyone that we've turned away so far has actually been they understand for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course they do. I mean, and the way you do it is just, you know, we're probably not the best people for you, and that's just a great term. You know, it just wouldn't be a good fit for us. We work with blank. We work with, you know,
mm-hmm.
high net worth clients that are focused on complex situations. But, you know, to have somebody to turn them to is always nice.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, and that's the issue that we're having still, right? Because we don't have, like, we have ideas of maybe who to turn them to, but we still haven't finalized who we're turning them to. Because, like, this particular person, she wouldn't be a good client, honestly, for the firm. So just because she didn't have anything, she would be, it wouldn't work. So I don't know.
Well,
I guess we can't turn them to them.
I'll give you a little story. I had a little office in Lafayette, Indiana, three financial advisors, and that's far and away from Indianapolis that it was a satellite, and we had this talk, what do you do? You know, nobody in the office wanted small accounts. They all were, it was a whole, everybody was part of the same team. So they literally couldn't refer anybody, and, you know, Indianapolis was too far and so forth. I said, well, tell me about your competition. Who in the market do you respect and like? And they were telling me about this woman that was down the road, and she had an independent practice, and I think she cleared through Schwab, and she was very nice and took all kinds of accounts and did a pretty good job with them. I said, so that's your, we call it CSD, Client Services Department. I said, just refer them down the street to her. You know, have lunch with her, tell her what you're going to do and why, and see if she'll take them, and then refer them. And she literally referred a big client to them later on.
Wow.
Hmm.
Yeah.
We can't do that. They won't allow, Morgan Stanley won't allow us to do that.
I wish we could.
Mm-hmm. It'll be good if we could.
Mm-hmm.
They won't allow you to just to give somebody's name?
Not outside of the firm.
Really?
Really.
That's an interesting, you know, I never had that come up where somebody told me that.
Well, there you go.
And you know that.
I'm gonna call the kid though. I'm gonna talk to our risk officer because you know how like most firms have the net as long as they're within that network of what is it called? It's like if you want to share in revenue, you have to be in a certain network,
mm-hmm.
right? Like a CPA, things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
There might be something. So I'm gonna talk to her about how we deal with that because there might be another option.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem right that you just let them float around in the world. You know that maybe you have to give three names or I don't know, but. We always had to give three names for everything, but I never thought about that. Here I am, the compliance officer, telling somebody to send them out outside the firm. Maybe that was my idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought it was, you know, the firm doesn't want them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are you going to do? Just let them go? That doesn't seem fair.
Yeah.
That's what I usually do. I tell them, you know, try your bank. Where do you bank? They usually have somebody in there. Go talk to them.
Oh, that's a good idea. So you're not referring them. You're just telling them to go to the bank.
Go to their own bank, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a referral to me.
All right, Mr. Compliance. All right.
Yeah, I said it to the bank too, but I'm very like vague about it too.
All right. We'll shelf that one until we get further clarifications from our your
rich
manager.
Yeah.
No, that's good. All right.
All right, Brian.
So, other things, anything else fun go on last week that I should know about? Any anecdotal stories or successes or anything else?
Yeah. Somebody had a question. Who was it?
Well, you had a question. You were saying, I need to ask Nicole. Do you remember?
Oh, about his scheduling.
Okay. Do you want to talk about it? Or?
We'll talk about the scheduling. She's had a question. We're having issues with scheduling because I travel from time to time.
Yep.
And so it's hard because it can be erratic. So it's hard for her to schedule people on a consistent basis on the third Wednesday of the month if she doesn't know if I'm going to be in or out. So how do you deal with that? Is that
mm-hmm.
it?
That's it.
Is it always the third Wednesday of the month?
Well, that's what she's going to have some appointments that'll be on the third Wednesday of the month.
Or third Wednesday or Friday or, you know, so it's not, I'm trying to find some consistency in Gerald's schedule, but right now I don't have any consistency, so it's hard for me to schedule because what I don't want to fall into is we miss somebody.
Right. All right. Well, tell me about the inconsistencies in the schedule. What's causing that?
Okay, I'll give you an example. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be going up to Minnesota with my mother and father for medical reasons. So, and we don't know if we're going to be there for 3 days or 5 days or what have you. Then at the end of the month, the 30th through the 5th, I'm going to be in Asheville taking vacation time.
But before then, you're going to be in Atlanta.
I'm going to be in Atlanta.
The first week in June, that Tuesday and Monday of June. And then he's going, like he said, Minnesota.
Well, that's a schedule, though.
At least that's a client.
Yeah,
that's different.
So.
So you can maybe those clients that he's meeting in Atlanta can be part of that
That's
calendar
what I was
for the
thinking.
Reunion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay, sorry about that.
Okay.
So we're looking at over the next month, I could be gone anywhere from 3 to 5 days 1 week, and then I know I'll be gone the end of the month. And then in August, I've got, you know, other times that I'll be gone. So when it's time for scheduling, they'll fall on, you know, I might be gone different days, but there might be clients that will be missed because I'm going to be out of the office on vacation or medical. And what she's saying is what she doesn't want to do is have to reschedule all the time or miss people. Because if I'm gone for a week, then that's 20 people that have not been contacted. So how do you do that?
Well, for one thing, you can, I mean, here's one of the things you can do. Bunch of different things. Let's say, for example, you know you're going to take a week's vacation.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That entire month can be a service month for your client. So all your clients are going to get contacted. So if it's not a quarterly review or a in-person meeting,
mm-hmm.
those it's one of the 8 other calls, then then a teammate would take that call and make it a service call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So the week.
Can I do the service call then? Because Chantel and Gerald's schedule have it set up. They have really come at the same time. So could I do that service call, or does it have to be a financial advisor to do the service call?
Oh no. It should be the person in charge of operations and service in Supernova.
Oh, okay. So you do the service call.
It's a service call. It's not a selling call. And what you can cover, you can make a list of things that the clients, you'd like all the clients to be taking advantage of, having to do with the services that you provide. For example, the online viewing of their account, access to their account through an app on their phone. It could be use of an ATM, credit cards, how do you use the credit cards, checking account, things that, you know, the FA is not going to want to spend a lot of time on. It's something that the clients really value. So all of a sudden, this non-FA call becomes one of the most important calls of the year.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with performance. It's all about, remember, what are we all about now? We're all about service, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a service call. So this becomes a very important call.
So then, I can schedule my vacations based on certain months. Mm-hmm. And we can count
right.
it. That's good.
That's good.
It's going to take, you know, that, really do it. Well, it'll be 2018. We can get started, but.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's
yeah.
one thing.
Okay.
The other thing is I had a guy that in Minnesota that was a former professional baseball player, and he had a bunch of baseball clients, and he would go to spring training.
Mm-hmm.
And they would pack him up with two, you know, those big CPA briefcases. They'd give him two big CPA briefcases with his client folders in, and he'd go off to spring training. And he'd make his phone calls and his in-person meetings for, you know, 3 weeks in Florida.
Okay.
I had one guy that went to Florida on regular, just, you know, he was senior guy, and he wanted to operate out of his house in Florida. And yet he wanted to do Supernova. And so he did his Supernova calls from Florida, and they would FedEx every day the folders back and forth.
Wow, was that lovely?
He's a senior guy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The other, so you can take the folders with you. You can keep on your schedule. If you can plan it ahead, then you don't schedule those weeks. July is a 5-week month usually, so that can be a help. You can make it up with the other extra week. So there's 4 or 5 week months. They come July, October, January and April, right? January and April. January, April, July and October. So those are your extra weeks. Sometimes they're not a full week, but, you know, they're extra time. So you can make up calls on those.
So what I was going to do for the 5th week mark, I was going to have that time block for us to work on the business. But I really like the time because I don't want to skip the beat. So I really like the service calls. I think that's an excellent idea. I like that. We can do the service calls.
So, and the other is to reschedule. You know, you're just going to have some rescheduling that goes on. It's like us, right? I mean, just think about what we do for our calls. For the most part, I try and make it work. But, you know, there are times when I just have to be out of town speaking or doing something, you know, so I can't do it. But when I go to visit my daughter, in L.A., I get up at 6 o'clock and I make my calls. You know, nobody's up, so I just make my calls.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on vacation, but it's not, you know, that time is, it's not, quote, the vacation time that I, you know what I mean. It'd be wasted time. I'd be sleeping.
All right. I
hear
you.
So, you know, you just learn to live with a schedule. It's like a doctor. Now you're like a doctor or a CPA or an attorney. Any other profession always has a schedule like this. And so they just, and clients are used to this. You know, that's what they expect from us. They're kind of surprised that there is no structure. You know, they just get a call randomly out of the blue. And it's like, let's do your annual review. Well, I'm in the middle of working out. You know, I'm not prepared. Or I'm in surgery, you know. So, trust me, whatever we're doing with this, even if it's not perfect, is going to be a heck of a lot better than what we were doing.
Okay.
That's so you kind of, you have to get used to it. You have to sort of learn to live with a schedule versus just randomly taking off.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's it for, do we have anything else? Okay. We're straight on the mini-me. Okay. I think that's it.
Yeah. And the other thing is when you do, you know, we talked, about batch processing the clients together that are all in one destination. So if you have a bunch of clients in Florida and you want to see them at once, you know, you batch them together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that can be a help.
Okay.
The other is to try and, you know, is to... you know, just really try and get down to where you're not trying to do, you know, 110 or 100. You're getting down to 80 or 70 clients. Okay. Then everything gets easier.
Yeah.
You just got to get there. That's tough, Rob. It's just tough.
We talked about the idea of hiring somebody else and, you know, just to handle the smaller account so you don't have to.
Okay. All right. How do we handle this? We've got a client who's, million-dollar client. She has a friend who's going to be, a million-dollar friend or close to it. And she has another friend that we opened an account for a few years back that has $10,000. And she's the one with the big mouth and the one with the influence. And we're charging her fees, low maintenance fees and all of that stuff, low balance fees and all of that. We include her in, some of the workshops, and she mentioned it today. I met with her today, the million-dollar client today. Said, it's the time we get together. We really like it. They really feel like they're family, et cetera. And I didn't tell her that we were thinking about getting rid of her friend because she didn't have enough money. It's kind of a delicate situation as far as we can tell because they are so close. But she only has $10,000. When she retires, she might have $300 or $350 or something like that. But tell me how you would handle that. And I'll tell you one of the things that I was thinking about doing. But how would you handle that? Because they're very close. Two of them have money. The other one doesn't.
Yeah, it's a political situation.
Right.
The rule of common sense always supersedes all other rules. So
okay.
What I would say would be if I would charge her by, you're saying she's a center of influence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Then I'd put her to work.
Okay. All right.
So I would have her. I would give her butler status.
Uh huh.
So I'd have one of those in person.
Okay.
And if I really developed and I thought that she could be a center of influence, I would make her a salesman for me, and I'd meet with her monthly. Or I'd talk to her monthly. I'd give her a regular 12-4-2, but it wouldn't be about her investment. It would be about leveraging her ability to introduce us to people, and I'd put the hammer down.
Okay. You would put the hammer down. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I had one client that was so fun. I mean, he was such a great guy. I liked him a lot. He owned a department store in New Hampshire, and he'd call every day, right?
Okay, all
right. he was retired, but he still had a lot of money, and he was a great guy, and he'd call every day. And I said to him one day, I said, we've invested every dime that you have, and I think you've given me every person that you know as a referral. So we just can't talk anymore.
All right. Okay. I'm listening. Got my attention.
Now,
okay, after that,
his name was Mr. Derby, and I always called him Mr. Derby. And he was so fun. He said, Rob, this is just like having a casino in your backyard. Said, this is so fun. And I said, Mr. Derby, you can't call like this. I said, we're gonna end up over-trading your account, and it's just not good. He agreed. So we talked a little less, but, I mean, I put the hammer down on him. I said, Mr. Derby, either when you call, we're either going to do a transaction, or we're going to, you got to give me a referral. And he always gave me referrals. It was awesome. That's what I mean. I mean, there's a price, right? I mean, there's a cost of doing business. Now, he and I were friends and could laugh and joke about this stuff.
Yeah.
But that's the truth. That was the reality.
Not there yet. I bet we could get there.
Yeah, she's
I bet we could get there.
You know what she cares about? She just cares about feeling important.
Yes. She wants to
as long as she feels important, I think she would do whatever we ask. We don't even meet with her. She doesn't even care that we don't meet with her.
But she
wants
to
be invited.
No, she cares about being invited. Because
yeah,
she
wants to be invited.
Yesterday. What did she say yesterday? We're just like, you know, because we look forward to this. We talk all the time, but we don't get to get together. We get together here, and it's like family. So, you know, we look forward to the calls for these events.
She wants to be at the event.
Yeah,
we can share with her.
So apparently she knew that
they got calls before.
And she didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And Gwen said the same thing.
Oh, really?
The exact same thing.
Oh, Jesus.
The
they would just start planting that seed like, FYI. Oh, God.
She said that that we even feel like family to them now.
That's great. Now, you make it clear to her. You teach her. You train her. Okay. And you teach her what your minimums are.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right? And you say, look, our target client is $2.5 million, and our minimum is $1 million. She'll go, oh, my God, I only have 10,000. Yes, but you're a center of influence.
Mm.
Oh.
Okay.
She'll like that.
Yeah. She would love that.
Yeah.
And she'll go, well, what do I have to do as a center of influence? You know, what do I need to do here? And then you teach her. You say, well, here's what a center of influence does. They give us introductions without us ever asking.
Go find those.
That's a very important role.
There's only a select few people that we can look at as center of influence.
That's right.
Because we're not even getting
paid.
We don't get paid on her account at all. Well, you know.
Then what you teach her is that, well, and here's to be a really good center of influence. Our good ones give us an introduction every month.
Like, you gotta work.
Every month.
Okay, and she may just say, I can't keep up with you guys, I'm leaving. Or she's going to feel such an ego thing that she's going to say, well, I'm going to be your best center of influence, and she'll bring you everyone every 2 weeks, see?
She's definitely a big advocate of us, and that's what I'm saying. It's interesting that we have maybe met with her twice. We did a financial plan, and we talked to her about her account once to try to roll it over because we thought her retirement plan was going to roll over at the time. But we haven't met with her since, and she doesn't even
care.
She just wants to come to things and feel important and included.
Well, like I said, you give her 4-1, and that doesn't even mean that any one person needs to do all that. All of you could share that. So a different person could call her, you know, 3 times, and then once she'd meet with Daryl, you know, in person, and then she'd brag about that all year that she met.
She would.
And the reason you do that is to demonstrate the service experience that you provide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
And seriously, if she became that good at it, then you could meet with her monthly. I mean, or talk to her monthly. You can literally meet with her monthly. If she's bringing you an introduction monthly, you could meet with her monthly. And that's what you can do with any client, anybody that you think. But I would not let people get away with just sitting there, just because they know people. You gotta put them to work.
Mm-hmm. We could do that.
I think so.
We could do that. I think, and we got a short window of doing that. When she retires, when in 3 or 4 years, because she has to work longer than we thought, or is it 5 or 6 years or something?
I don't remember. Okay,
All right, good.
Thank you.
That was awesome, man. I appreciate that. Okay, what else do you have?
That's right. Don't give me your second best stuff. I just want your best stuff. Keep giving
yeah.
me.
yeah. Yes, indeed.
Well, here's the truth. When you guys do this stuff and you try it, then you give me some feedback. Then I can get, or you have questions, then I can feed you more good anecdotal stories and solutions. You know, so the more you do of what we talk about, the better our relationship in terms of me being of help. Okay, some teams I'm constantly asking if they segmented, I'm constantly asking if they got organized, you know, and their answers are basically, yeah, we're working on it, we're not quite there, and da-da-da. The conversation doesn't go too far, all right? They're not really using me the way I need to be used, which is, you know, this kind of situation. We've got this situation. What do you think? And then I can be of help to you. I'm building my mastermind group and I've got one guy. How do I build the next guy? Or I've met with a center of influence and he's da da da. And then, you know, asking me questions and how do I create value or what do I do here? Then I can be of real help. You know, that's why I always ask you, you know, what went, give me some feedback for the week. How did you do? Did you get the job done? You know, if you have some questions and then I can be of help. You know, then I can.
I got a question. We happen to have, both of our prospects that we were looking forward to meeting on Friday, both of them, are they already rescheduled?
No, I'm in the process of rescheduling.
Okay, so is there, Keisha's in the process of rescheduling them. One of them, if you recall, was, had her CPA as, an advisor that didn't talk to him, didn't know anything, you know, that kind of thing. And the other one just needed help. But what I want to know is what should we be doing in the interim between now and the rescheduling of the now and the meeting? Should, you know, because it's a matter of dripping and touching and that sort of thing. So what would you suggest?
How far away is the meeting?
We haven't scheduled it yet.
It's not firmed up
yet. You affirm?
All right, so when was the meeting supposed to be?
It was supposed to be Friday. Last Friday.
Both of them.
I mean, are you talking about a week, or are you talking about 2 weeks, or what do you think?
I'm thinking probably when next week, maybe.
But it depends. One of them is extremely busy.
So it might be one week. It could be 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I would do is focus on making sure that they didn't forget the appointment. That's all.
You wouldn't drip them with anything. You wouldn't send them anything.
No.
Nothing. No?
No. No. No.
Why? Why not?
It looks like you're not busy.
Really?
Well,
they can't handle my account if they're too busy. They might be too busy.
No, it's a dance. You do a little dance before you. It's kind of like dating. You don't want to look too interested.
You don't want to look too interested.
No, you don't want to look. You want to be interested, but your job is to. I mean, think of you're a lawyer, right? And she's getting divorced or something. I mean, it's an important meeting, all right? The lawyer makes the appointment, and the client shows up. That's what you do. Same thing. You make the appointment, they show up. Now we're talking. I mean, they want the appointment, right? You're going to get the appointment. You don't want to be begging. You don't want to appear like you need the business.
Okay.
But I understand what you're saying, but I want to make sure that we are engaged with them. I don't want to just say, okay, there's an appointment, because I was going to email one that hasn't met with us. I was going to email her. I'm in the process of now emailing, dropping up the email, but I was going to also attach our brochure so she can learn a little bit more about us. And then in the email I said, you know, we're looking forward to learning more about you and your personal goals. I just think that's more engaging than not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine. That's, like I said, as long as it's focused on a reminder of when the appointment is, it's fine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're not presenting new material or trying to convince her that this is a good idea to meet with you.
No, it's not that at all. But I was thinking, should we be sending them any newsletters or anything like that?
No. That's confusing. What is this newsletter? What does that have to do with our appointment? What are you doing? You know. Are you going to be sending me this junk all the time? I don't want that.
Tell me how you really feel. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So you don't like newsletters?
I don't like to confuse the topic.
Okay. Pause. Do you like newsletters on a monthly basis from your advisor?
If it's from my advisor and you've got a personal note attached to it pointing out something on the newsletter, then yes.
Okay. So it needs to be personalized, like, oh, I remember you talking about this. Here's something that I found.
Yeah.
So not the blanket newsletter with...
Yeah. Here's what's going on with everything.
Yeah.
I think it's like, you know, here's what's much better is I know you're interested in robotics and artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Here's a great article you need to read.
Mm-hmm. We blanket because we can touch everybody instead of targeting what we're sending.
Mm-hmm.
It's back to that. Wow.
Right.
Okay. It's coming clearer.
I don't make things easy for you, do I?
No, but I want to be able to stand up on the platform in 3 years and say Rob did it for. I mean, what Rob said worked for us.
Well, it will. Just think about. Think about how much you like to get a newsletter from a mutual fund company.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Understand it.
Yeah.
But we like when they send us gifts.
Yeah.
But when do they send us gifts?
When we give them money.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Yeah.
But if, you know, if,
no clocks. Wow. So then we need to phase the newsletter out. Is that what you're suggesting? Because we use it. Huh?
Just don't count it. Okay?
Don't count it. Huh?
Don't count it. It's a neutral.
Okay.
No.
What about the magazine that we send out?
That's nice. Personal, yeah. I like
that's
that.
Nice. Well, if it's something that you created personally and get approved or something, or what?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that is
it's
approved. Yeah, it has recipes in it.
That's
and
really interesting.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
Article. I mean, people look forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, Rob, if you were our client, you'd look forward to that along with the robotics
advice. All right, so send me what you send, all right? And I'll give you a client opinion.
All right. Okay.
We got a copy. Send it to your office.
Yeah, just send it to rdnap@gmail.com is fine.
It's actually hard copy of a magazine.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
It's actually a really good magazine.
And you created?
No.
Morgan
Stanley.
With our touches on it.
It's personalized for us.
Interesting. Yeah, just send me one copy. I'd love to read it and see what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Where
do you want me to send it? Send it to Rob Knapp at Post Office Box 2160, Boca Grande, Florida. 33921.
Yeah.
33921, yeah.
Does Grant have an E after the D, or is just D?
It's an E.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What's the zip?
Boca Grande. It's 2160 Boca Grande, Grande, Florida, 33921.
Okay.
93921.
Right.
All right. Now, I know we're supposed to be talking about acquisition. We're way off where we're supposed to be talking about. Are we going to get into website, LinkedIn, and all of that stuff at some point?
Yes, sir. That's the last thing we talk about.
Okay.
But there's a webinar on each of the strategies that you all should watch.
Okay.
Because I do a video, right, but the webinar is 45 minutes of just focused on LinkedIn.
Okay.
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 All right. I mean, I go into Facebook a little bit, but it's mostly focused on LinkedIn, because I think LinkedIn's a fabulous opportunity.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
All right. So this week we finished organization, and hopefully you got a chance to make up your list of six ways that you save my clients money and all that homework from last week. This week, I want you to read the book Get More Referrals Now by Bill Cates.
Mm-hmm.
I've read that already.
Really?
A long time ago.
I've heard of it.
I'll read it again.
Yeah. Yeah, read it again.
Referrals by Bill Cates.
Yeah. I'm going to give you another idea that happened by accident this week.
Okay.
I have a friend of mine that's visiting me because it's tarpon season, so we've been out fishing. And we were just sitting around yesterday afternoon as the weather came in. We came home. And he was telling me about retirement and money and investing and all that stuff. And he said, Rob, you really helped me a lot. And I said, I did? And he said, yeah, I read your book after we talked a couple years ago, and I met with my financial advisor, and I told him, I gave him the book, and I said, read the book, and then I want to do everything that Rob talks about in the book.
Hmm.
And I said, wow. I said, so what did he do? He said he read the book, and now I have a financial plan. I get 1242, and I get rapid response to problems. He said he was a good financial advisor for my retirement account, but that's where most of my money was, but he wasn't paying any attention to the rest of me. And I told him I wanted all the rest, you know. He said, my friend Randy said, now the rest of my investments look like my retirement account, and I'm doing just great. He said, so I'm really delighted. So it made me think. when you're trying to create value with these centers of influence, don't hesitate because you're always looking, what can I do to make their life better, right? How can I be of help to the center of influence, a CPA or attorney or any service provider? Well, you can always use the book as a talking point. and say, look, read this book. It's helped a lot of people, sure, financial advisors, but it's helped people in the service industry. It's helped CPAs. It's helped attorneys. It's helped doctors, concierge practices, all kinds of people have read the book and have used it. So why don't you read the book and then we'll talk about how it might benefit your practice. So it's a great way to create some value, to share something. And then guess what? It gives you an excuse to tell him what you've done. I hired this guy, the author, and we're right now really doing a complete makeover of our practice based on the principles that he talks about in the book, which is really common sense. So we feel that at this point we're giving an extraordinary client experience. It's really caused a revolution in the business of financial services. It's provided we'll call it kind of a service revolution. From a business that was really pretty much chaos to now it's being very organized and people are getting a much improved client experience. And frankly, with, you know, the evolution of the practice and the business, and it's really given us a lot more meaning in our life. We think we're bringing a lot more value to our clients. So, in order to understand our practice, you really need to read this book. Now you've established real credibility with that CPA, attorney, or somebody else. They can't ignore what you're doing, and they can't say you're just like everybody else because nobody else is doing it. Okay?
Okay. All right.
So, you know, I may end up selling a few more books because of it, which doesn't hurt.
I thought you were going to give us a bit.
He didn't laugh.
How about you, Sam?
Rob, you went quiet.
I was frankly shocked that he literally, you know, just took action on it. I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. Anyway, I think we've run out of time.
All right. Anything else we need to do?
No, I think we've done a lot. We turned a $10,000 in. A client into a center of influence who's going to be a warrior for you,
yeah.
And we're marketing the heck out of Supernova, so that's all good stuff.
You've done your job today. You can go tarpon fishing now.
I think you'll get some.
Yeah, this is the day.
Rob, do you classify us on the best of minds?
What was that?
You classify us now among the masterminds?
Yeah, you're among the masterminds, right.
Yeah, right. Whatever you say. Just hand out that book.
About, you know, going on a late show, late night TV show, being the host. You guys laugh at almost anything I say, which is.
We got you. We're your audience.
Yeah.
Rob, will you do this? Tell them that you've met the Salmon Group.
I will. I'll put it on public TV. I'll tell them the most fun. The most fun group I've ever coached.
Well, Well, we want, yeah, that's good. That's good. And we want to be, you know, we want to grow the business, and we want to be influential in families and make a difference. So, if not, obviously it's not going to be the quantity of the people, but the quality. And maybe we'll, maybe indirectly we will affect other people, you know, by some of the other things. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You're a great servant leader, I can tell, and you've got a great team there. So I love working with you. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.